শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু জীবে দয়া করি, সপার সদ শিরোধাম সহয়াব করি। শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু জীবে দয়া করি, সপার সদ শিরোধাম সহয়াব করি। অত্যন্ত দুর্লভ পরিবার শিখায় শরণাগতি, অত্যন্ত দুর্লভ পরিবার শিখায় শরণাগতি। দৈন্য আত্ম নিবেদন গোপৃতি শিখায় শরণাগতি, দৈন্য আত্ম নিবেদন অবশ্য রিবে কৃষ্ণ, দৈন্য আত্ম নিবেদন অবশ্য কৃষ্ণ। ভক্তি অনুকূল মাত্র কার্যের শিকার, ভক্তি প্রতি কুল ভার জনম দীপার, সরঙ্গ শরণাগতি হইবে যাহার, তাহার প্রার্থনা শুনে শ্রীনন্দ শরঙ্গ শরণাগতি হইবে যাহার, তাহার প্রার্থনা শুনে শ্রীনন্দ রূপ সনাতন পদে দন্তে তৃণ করি ভকতি বিনোদ করি রূপপদ করি, রূপ সনাতন পদে দন্তে তৃণ করি ভকতি বিনোদ করি রূপপদ করি, কাঁদিয়া কাঁদিয়া বলে আমি তো শিখায় শরণ কর হে কাঁদিয়া কাঁদিয়া বলে আমি তো অধম শিখায় শরণাগ করে হে শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু জীবে দয়া করি সপার সদস্য সহযোগ করি, ¶¶ অত্যন্ত দুর্লভতে করিবার শিখায় শরণারে অকথে হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে 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 কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে 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 রাম হরে রাম 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 হরে নম ওং বিষ্ণুপদায় কৃষ্ণপৃষ্ঠায় ভূতলে শ্রীমতে ভক্তিবেদান্ত স্বামীনিতি নামিনে নমস্তে সরস্বতী দেবে গৌরবাণী প্রচারিণে নির্বিশেষ শূন্যবাদী পাশ্চাত্যাদিশুতায় শীল প্রভুপাদ কি জয়। Why did Krishna come? Krishna came to kill the demons. And one of the principal demons was Kamsa. And the demigods are waiting. When will Krishna kill Kamsa? Krishna came fulfilling their request. Krishna is performing his pastimes in Vrindavan. The demons are coming one after another and Krishna is killing them. But Kamsa is still there and his atrocities are going on. The demoniac activities are going on. So demigods became quite impatient. When will Krishna kill Kamsa? You remember how when the first child was born and Vasudev took the child to Kamsa but Kamsa said, no, this child I don't have to be worried about. The eighth son of you is the cause of fear. So take this child back. So, do you remember? Did I mention what happened at that time? Anyway, many of you are not here, so your convenience, I'll just say. When comes the return of the child, and Vasudev took the child back, the demigods became worried. Oh, this child has been given back, and so the eighth child, how long will it take for the eighth son to be born? Because if the child survives, then Devaki will take a long time to give birth to the next child. So the demigods actually consulted with Narad Muni. Narad Muni, we have to do something about it in order to accelerate Krishna's appearance. So it's actually Narad Muni who went and told Kamsa. Kamsa, the announcement was eighth child, but they didn't mention from which count, front, back, or back forward, or middle, around. So don't take any chance. So that's why Kamsa actually changed his mind and killed. And right after the childbirth, the six children, the first six children of Devaki and Vasudeva were killed. And that was done just the demigod's arrangement for accelerating Krishna's appearance. Then Balaram came, and then Krishna came finally. So here also there is their concern that what's happening? Krishna is not killing Kamsa. When will he kill Kamsa? So Narad Muni, please do something about it. So Narad Muni then went to Kamsa. And Narad Muni actually told Kamsa, Kamsa, this Krishna and Balaram are actually Vasudev's son. Balaram's seventh child was not a miscarriage. The seventh child was transferred to the womb of Rohini, and it came out as Rohini's son, Balaram. And the eighth child was not a daughter, it was this Krishna. And Vasudeva actually placed Krishna in Nanda's house and brought Nanda's daughter, who was Jogamaya, who appeared as Nanda Yashoda's daughter, he actually brought. So Kamsa was furious. He immediately unsheathed his sword and he was about to kill Vasudev. Narad Muni stopped him. He said, look, the fear is not from Vasudev. So by killing Vasudev, what will you gain? Rather, Krishna will become even more angry. So don't try to, try to kill Krishna, because he is the actual enemy. He is the one who is destined to kill you. So Kamsa said, yes, but I'm trying to kill him so many ways. I'm sending one after this invincible demons, and they all are failures, and they're losing their lives. See, I lost all my intimate associates, all those demons. They're gone one after another. Narad Muni said, look, Kamsa, the problem is when the enemy is too strong, then don't deal with the enemy one by one at a time. Gather all your force and bring your enemy within your domain, and then you try to deal with it. And that is why Kamsa actually arranged this Dhanurjagya, a big festival. And there was an announcement actually. Kamsa made an announcement. Whoever will be able to string the bow that he had given by Parashuram, then he will give him half of his kingdom. So being attracted by that proposal, many kings came, and so Kamsa decided to invite Krishna and Balaram. We heard that you two brothers are very expert in wrestling. So we are having this Dhanurjaga festival and we'll have a cultural program. And in that cultural program, you can demonstrate your wrestling skill. With that invitation, he sent Akrura. And Akrura went. Akrura, although he was with Kamsa, but Akrura was a great devotee. And he thought it was such a wonderful opportunity to see Krishna. So he decided to go. And it's very beautiful the way Akrura arrived. Akrura arrived in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, he saw Krishna's footprints on the ground. And he rolled on the ground that are marked with Krishna's footprints. And then he arrived in Nanda Maharaj's house. And Nanda Maharaj worshipped him. And he was very happy to come there, seeing Krishna Balaram. And he disclosed that your Kamsa is inviting you to the festival and in order to entertain him, entertain everybody. But actually it is a ploy to kill you. Krishna and Balaram just laughed. Oh, Kamsa is going to kill us. Balaram, do you want to accept Kamsa's challenge? Balaram said, yeah, sure, let's go straight away. But in the meantime, the news spread everywhere that Akrura came to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. And all the gopis became very, very upset. No, Krishna, you cannot go. And you see, the point here is, the proposal was that Krishna and Balaram would just go for one day to attend the festival. But the gopis were so attached to Krishna that they couldn't even tolerate one day's separation. What to speak of one day's separation? They could not tolerate the separation of the wink of an eye. The eye, when it blinks, for fraction of a second, and for the time they couldn't see Krishna, they used to complain. They used to criticize Brahma. What kind of body Brahma has created? Look, this body has eyes that blinks. And due to that, we cannot see Krishna for that time. So this was how intense was their love for Krishna. And so they even chastised Akrura. Akrura, krura means cruel. And Akrura means one who is not cruel. Oh, what a name you got, Akrura. You are the cruelest person on the earth. So this is how they were expressing their discontentment. Krishna expanded himself into all the gopis' forms and went to them personally, consoling them, but they won't listen. The next morning, Akrura is about to take Krishna and Balaram. He got into the chariot. The gopis surrounded the chariot and said, no way we are going to let you go. Some were holding onto the horses, someone was holding onto the back of the chariot, pulling it. And they were very determined not to let Krishna go. Some even was lying on the ground. Okay, if you have to go, if you have to take Krishna away from us, then over our dead body. So that is how intense was their love for Krishna. And Krishna consoled them. Don't worry, I'll come back. And in this way, requesting them, Krishna let Akrura drive the chariot. And all the residents of Vrindavan were just standing there watching until the chariot disappeared out of their sight, until the dust rising from the wheels of the chariot settled. They kept on looking at that direction. Then Krishna and Balaram, Akrura was taking Krishna and Balaram, and Akrura came to the bank of Jamuna, and Akrura decided to take a bath. He took their permission. Can I please take a bath here in Jamuna since I've come here? Krishna Mahan said, yeah, please go. We'll be sitting in the chariot. You go, take your bath. So when Akrura went to the Jamuna and took his bath, and then he saw that Krishna and Balaram also were in Jamuna. So he was surprised. Well, Krishna and Balaram was on the chariot. How come they're here? So then he went back to see, and he saw Krishna and Balaram was still sitting in the chariot, on the chariot. And so he came back, and this time he saw Krishna Balaram as Narayan and Shankarshan. So this is how Akrura could see, and so he started to offer his prayers to Krishna Balaram. Then taking Krishna Balaram, he came to Mathura, and the gopas headed by Nanda Maharaj also went to Mathura, taking various gifts for Kamsa, various milk products, carts full of milk products took to Kamsa. And before Krishna Balaram arrived in Akrura's chariot, they were also there. They also arrived there. How could they arrive? Even before Krishna Balaram, when they were riding on a chariot, horse-driven chariot, and they were going on bullock carts. The answer that was given is, because through the forest they knew a shortcut to Mathura. So that's how they came earlier. So they met, they were cowherd people, they had bullock carts and things, so they stayed out of the city. So Krishna and Balaram also met the cowherd boys, and then they decided to go for sightseeing, city of Mathura. So with the permission from the elders, they went to see the city. And just beautiful, the description of Mathura is beyond anyone's imagination. So that way we can see 5,000 years ago how the cities of India were like. Beautiful palaces on both sides of the large roads, large avenues. Those roads were decorated, and by the side of the roads there are flower gardens. And the elephants in their trunk, they are taking perfumed water and sprinkling those waters on the road. And the palaces were made of beautifully carved marbles and expensive stones, like onyx and all kinds of beautiful stones studded with all kinds of gems. On the road there were arches beautifully studded with all kinds of precious gems. And the ladies from the palaces came out to see Krishna Balaram. They got to know that Krishna and Balaram has arrived in Mathura. They heard about them, but now they have the opportunity to see them. And on the way, Krishna met one washerman who was carrying the loads of washed and ironed clothes of Kamsa, dyed clothes of Kamsa. So Krishna said, see, we have been invited by the king, but we are coming from the village. We are village people, so we are not dressed properly. So will you give us some of these dresses so that we can go to the royal court in a proper way? That washerman became very, very upset. You dare to speak like that? You dare to have the clothes of the king? You are the forest dwellers. Just be satisfied having your coppins as your dress. In this way, he started to blaspheme Krishna. What did Krishna do? Krishna just took his hand and mildly slapped him. And his head was severed from his body and started to roll on the ground. Seeing that, all the other washermen, his companions, they all ran away, dropping their clothes. And so Krishna, Balaram, selected some, and all the cowherd boys also dressed up, selecting some clothes according to their choice. So got dressed up. And then they came across a weaver. They wore the dress, but they were not dressed properly. So the weaver helped them to wear the dresses properly. So he just dressed up everyone nicely. So Krishna blessed the weaver that after this life, in this planet, you'll go back to the spiritual world. So this is how merciful Krishna is. Render a little service and Krishna becomes so pleased. The reward is, in this lifetime, you'll live like a king. And in your next life, you'll go to the spiritual world, liberated. Then Krishna came to a florist. His name was Sudama. So seeing Krishna Balaram, he became so excited. He said, come Krishna, please come to my place. And they selected the choicest flower ornaments and garlands for Krishna and Balaram and all his friends and decorated them with the flowers. Krishna blessed him also. Then Krishna saw on the way one hunchback woman carrying something. Oh, beautiful lady, what are you carrying? So he said, look. She said, look, everybody knows how I look. Why are you making joke out of me? Why are you making fun of me? Fun of my ugly features, ugly body. Krishna said, no, you are actually very beautiful. Anyway, what are you carrying? I am carrying this sandalwood paste and perfumes for Kamsa. And actually, I decided to decorate you with all these. And she addressed Krishna as, oh, handsome. Krishna called her, oh, beautiful. And she said, oh, handsome, most handsome personality, which is, of course, true. I feel that the purpose of what I'm carrying, the sandalwood paste and the perfume, is meant for you and you only. So then Krishna put his toes on top of her feet and he held her under her chin, and he gave a jerk. And her body became straight. And she became the most beautiful woman. And now this woman, whose name was Trivakra. Trivakra means one who is bent in three places. Because she was a hunchback, she was like that. So she said, Krishna, you have please come to my house. I want to spend time with you. Krishna said, not now. I'll come to you some other time. And so then Krishna saw some Vaishyas, business people. And they worship Krishna, offering different articles, auspicious articles. But when Krishna asked, can you tell me where is that bow kept? These Vaishyas were afraid and they didn't want to tell. Because they were afraid that if Kamsa gets to know that they gave the information to Krishna where the bow was, then Kamsa may get upset. So that's what is indicated, the mentality of the Vaishyas. They are very careful about their profit. And they don't want to risk anything. Anyway, that's some Vaishyas like that. But there were some little boys. They said, we know where the bow is. Come, we'll show you. So they took Krishna. So this is how we can see how the grown-up mentality can be averse to Krishna consciousness. But children, with the simplicity, they respond to Krishna consciousness very easily. So they took Krishna Balaram and the cowherd boys. They all went there to see where the bow is kept for Jagya next day. And so Krishna and Balaram, the cowherd boys, and also these local children, they walked in. All the guards tried to stop them. But Krishna Balaram didn't pay any heed. They said, don't come, this area is blocked now. But Krishna and Balaram just walked straight, went all the way up to the bow. And with his left hand, Krishna lifted the bow. And very easily he strung the bow. And as he pulled the bow, with a thunderous sound, the bow broke. Kamsa wondered what happened, as if the whole universe was shaking with the sound. And Kamsa was told that this boy has broke the bow. Now you remember what Parashuram told Kamsa? When the bow is broken, then he will die. So one indication, clear indication, that now Kamsa's death has become imminent. So, trembling with fear, see, he won't give up. Kamsa wouldn't give up and surrender. Although it has been announced that he is going to die, there is nothing can stop him from dying. And the bow is broken. And the personality who broke the bow is going to kill him. So here it is, Krishna is there now to kill Kamsa. But what did Kamsa do? He sent his army, go and kill those boys. And in the meantime, the guards, they were very upset and they attacked Krishna and Balaram. Now Krishna and Balaram took the half of the bow in their hands, and just using the half of the broken bow, he beat all the guards to death. Then the whole army came. Krishna Balaram easily killed the entire army. Thousands of soldiers were killed just by Krishna Balaram with this broken bow. So in this way, Krishna arrived in Vrindavan. Then after the sightseeing, they went back to where the cowherd people were. They were all waiting for Krishna Balaram. And that night, two persons couldn't sleep. One is Kamsa, because he was in total anxiety and he started to have all kinds of nightmares and all kinds of horrible visions. If whenever he got a little dozed off to sleep, he started to see that his body is moving without the head. Then he saw that when he jumped out, and then he saw his body is not casting any shadow, as if he has already become a ghost. And in this way, the whole night, he had all kinds of nightmares. He couldn't sleep the whole night. And the other person who couldn't sleep was Nanda Maharaj. He was in anxiety that now we are in Kamsa's domain. And who knows what Kamsa is going to do? Now that will he attack at night? And so this is how these two persons couldn't sleep. And then in the morning, Krishna and Balaram got dressed for the occasion. Kamsa also got up and we went to inspect the arena. He made the arrangements that when Krishna and Balaram would come, Kubalaya Pira, that terrible elephant that has the strength of 10,000 war elephants, Kubalaya Pira would deal with them and kill them. If Krishna can overcome that, then arrangement has been made that Chanur and Mushtika, two giant wrestlers, they are so, all these demons, as I mentioned, they're so powerful. They are not ordinary giants. They were demons that could even encounter with the demigods and defeat them. So Krishna Balaram came to the city gate, the palace gate, and they saw that elephant is blocking the way. Huge elephant. So he told the elephant driver that please move your elephant, we need to go inside. But instead of moving, that elephant driver charged the elephant towards Krishna. So Krishna for some time played with the elephant. Elephant came charging and Krishna went under his belly and the elephant couldn't find Krishna. So he started to circle around. And then Krishna came out. The elephant now tried to gore Krishna with the tusk. Krishna just slipped and the elephant just struck the ground and got hurt, getting hurt, became even more furious. And at one point, Krishna caught the elephant by the trunk and Balaram caught the elephant by the tail. And both of them, from both sides, started to pull the elephant and the elephant started to scream. Then Krishna let the elephant go and this time Krishna laid on the ground. Now the elephant again came rushing to gore Krishna. But Krishna just slipped away and the elephant again got hurt by goring on the ground. And then finally Krishna caught the elephant by the trunk, climbed up onto the elephant's body and pulled the tusk out of his body. Huge tusk. He pulled it out of the body. And with that tusk, started to beat the elephant to death. Then Krishna took that tusk as a trophy, and Balaram took the other tusk as a trophy. Now two of them, like two heroes, with the trunks of Kuvalaya Pira, walked into the wrestling area. And Krishna and Balaram was looking so beautiful. They had this decoration of sandalwood paste on their face and body. And now the blood of that elephant also created marks, red marks on the body, as if his body and his face was decorated with white chandan and red chandan. So in this way, Krishna and Balaram entered. And there's a beautiful description how everyone saw Krishna. Mallanam Ashani. The wrestlers saw Krishna and Balaram as a thunderbolt, Ashani. Nrinang Naravara. The common people saw him as the best of man. The kings saw, the wicked kings saw him as the one who punishes. The gopas saw him as their relative, Sajana. The women saw him as Cupid personified. And in this way, Krishna Balaram entered. So then the wrestlers invited them, come. The goal of the citizen is to please the king. By pleasing the king, the citizens, common man, achieve the goal of their life. Because to please the king is the ultimate goal of life. So, come, give pleasure to the king by wrestling. We heard that you two are very expert wrestlers. Krishna said, generally wrestling takes place between equals. How come you are two huge personalities and we are two little boys? Now what kind of match this is? Then they said, Chanur said, that you may look like a little boy, but you are not. No one knows who you are. So this way you can see, even the demons can glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one knows who you are. No one knows who you are. But your strength is inconceivable. Everybody could see that the bow that couldn't be lifted by the most powerful individuals, you have not only lifted the bow, strung the bow, you broke it. Kubalaya Pira, even the demigods couldn't deal with him. And you easily killed him. So, in this way, they challenged. Krishna said, fine. So, Chanura confronted Krishna, and Mushtika confronted Balaram. So they fought for a long time. And then finally Krishna picked him up and he started to roll him. That is Krishna's favorite way of killing the demons. When there is a one-to-one confrontation. He rolled the demon. And by rolling the demon's life here was almost finished. And then he smashed him on the ground. Chanura is dead. Balaram also jumped onto Mushtika and started to punch him. And Mushtika is dead. Then Mushtika's brothers, Chanura and Mushtika's brother, Kuta, Shal and Tosha, came to attack Kamsa. I'm sorry, attack Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna Balaram killed all the wrestlers, and some of the wrestlers just ran away. So seeing that, Kamsa started to scream that, drive these people out of the thing, arrest Ugrasen, kill him, arrest all the cowherd people. And at that time, Krishna just jumped onto the dais, the raised area where Kamsa was sitting, surrounded by other kings. So seeing that Krishna coming, Kamsa prepared himself. He took his sword in one hand and he took the shield in the other. Now he is ready to attack Krishna. Krishna with bare hand, he avoided Kamsa's onslaughts with the swords. And then he slapped him on the face. When he slapped, Kamsa's turban went flying with the crown. And Krishna now grabbed him by his hair. And just as a lion captures an elephant and drags the elephant, Krishna dragged Kamsa's body and jumped from that area, that raised area, onto the wrestling field. And just beat Kamsa to death in front of everybody. So everybody in jubilation started to exclaim, Jai Krishna Balaram, Jai Krishna Balaram. But all the friends of Kamsa, now at his Kamsa's eight other brothers, attacked Krishna and Balaram. Krishna killed them also. So seeing that, everybody else ran away from there. Then Krishna went to the prison. He released Ugrasen. Ugrasen was imprisoned by Kamsa, released his father and mother. And after a long time, after the birth, Krishna was separated from his mother and father. And now they met them. And it was a very beautiful and touching description how Devaki and Vasudev met Krishna and Balaram. Then Krishna met Nanda Maharaj and told him that, look, after such a long time, I came back to my father and mother, so maybe I stay here for some time and you go back. So although Nanda Maharaj didn't want to leave Krishna behind and go back to Vrindavan, he had to. Then Ugrasen and Vasudev considered that Krishna Balaram did not have proper Vedic ceremony, Upanayan, to study scriptures, Vedic scriptures. So Krishna Balaram's Upanayan was conducted. And then it was a consideration for Krishna Balaram's education. So Krishna and Balaram were sent to the house of the ashram of Sandipani Muni. Krishna stayed in Sandipani Muni's ashram, which is here, Avantipur. And stayed here for 64 days. And within these 64 days, Krishna and Balaram mastered 64 arts. Took one day to master one subject. And those subjects were varied. Not only studying different branches of Vedas, but even to learn how to use weapons, how to sing, how to dance. All these arts Krishna mastered in 64 days. Now Sandipani Muni when Krishna was about to leave, he was feeling very sad that when they were here, everything was so joyful and now they're going to leave. And so Krishna Balaram came and said, Guruji, Gurudev, what can I give you for as Guru Dakshina? So Sandipani Muni said, I don't need anything. But maybe I'll ask my wife if she needs something. Then Sandipani Muni went inside the house and asked his wife that these two boys are leaving now, they want to give some dakshina. Do you need anything? So Sandipani Muni's wife said that these two boys seem to be unusual. So let's ask something unusual from them. We lost our child in the ocean. So please ask them to bring our dead son back. So Sandipani Muni went and told Krishna and Balaram. Krishna said, fine, we'll do that. And so immediately two chariots came.
And they drove to the ocean. And they called out the ocean storm. Come here. So he came and said, my guru's son died here. Bring him back. The ocean said, no, I didn't take him. It was a demon called Panchajanya who had killed him.
Found Panchajanya, who was hiding in the form of a conch shell, huge conch shell. And so Krishna fought with the demon, killed the demon. But there also he couldn't find the boy. And they were told that the boy was dead, has gone to Jamraj's abode. So they went to Jamraj's abode, Sangjamani Puri, and called Jamraj, blowing the conch shell that they just acquired, Panchajanya. Jamraj came fell at Krishna's feet. And he was so happy that his master has come. So he invited him. So please tell me, my lord, what can I do for you? So he told that this boy, his guru's son, was dead in the ocean. So we came to take him back. So Jamraj found out where he was. Then he brought that son back. So Krishna and Balaram took the dead son of Sandipani Muni and back, returned to him. So then Krishna and Balaram went back. In the meantime, Kamsa's widows, two wives, Asti and Prapti, went and reported to their father, Jarasandha, that Krishna has killed her husband. So Jarasandha then took a vow that I will make this world devoid of the Jadus. Saying that, he gathered 23 Akshauhini soldiers. Roughly, one Akshauhini is 65,000 chariots, 65,000 horses. 65 multiplied by 3, the chariots. And 65,000 multiplied by 5, the foot soldiers. So that is one Akshahini, something like 650,000 soldiers. Multiplied by 23 Akshahini soldiers. The attack, can you imagine? Almost 2 million. Soldiers. How many chariots? 65,000 multiplied by 23. Anyway, so many elephants, so many chariots, so many cavalries, so many foot soldiers attacked. Now, Mathura at that time practically didn't have any army, because this army they had, they all were Kamsa's people, so they all left. And there were very few Yadus and Vrishnis there. So, Jarasandha attacked, seized Mathura city. So at that time, two chariots came from the spiritual world. Krishna's chariot and Balaram's chariot, equipped with all celestial weapons, divine weapons. And Krishna and Balaram climbed onto the chariot and went in to the army of Jarasandha. The ladies were watching from the top of the palace, and when Krishna Balaram went, it seemed that they all were completely swallowed by the soldiers. They couldn't see them, as if they have engulfed Krishna Balaram completely. So they were in great anxiety. But then, very soon they saw those soldiers were parting or falling, and Krishna and Balaram emerged from there. And Krishna Balaram started to wipe out the soldiers. All 23 Akshahini soldiers were wiped out. The only one who was left is Jarasandha. Balaram was about to kill Jarasandha. Krishna said, "Don't kill him, don't kill him. Let him go." So in this way, Jarasandha attacked Mathura 17 times, and 17 times he lost all his soldiers. He attacked for 17 times with 23 Akshahini soldiers, and each time everyone was killed excepting Kamsa. Excepting Jarasandha. The question arises, why Krishna let Jarasandha go and let him attack again and again and again? The answer is that Jarasandha was actually Krishna's recruiting agent. Krishna came to kill the demons. Jarasandha was collecting all the demons and bringing them to Krishna to be slaughtered. So that's why Krishna didn't kill Jarasandha. But on the 18th time, there was a little problem. There was another Javana king called Kala Javana, and he attacked with 10 million soldiers. And Jarasandha was coming with his army. So Krishna and Balaram considered what to do now. The attack is coming from two sides. So how are we going to deal with that? Because our city will be in danger. So Krishna decided that let everybody be transferred from Mathura to a safer place. So he called Vishwakarma and told Vishwakarma to build a city in the middle of the ocean. Because if the city is in the middle of the ocean, then no one will be able to attack. So, being ordered, Vishwakarma overnight built a beautiful city, and that is Dwarka. And at night, when everyone was fast asleep, Krishna arranged that they all were transported from Mathura to Dwarka. So in the morning when they woke up, they found themselves in a new place. And they found that different palaces were assigned for different persons. Their nameplates were there in the front of the palace. So this is how Krishna transported all his capital from Mathura to Dwarka. And then Kalajavana actually was looking for an equal match to fight with, because he defeated everyone. So he asked Narad Muni, "So can you tell me who I can fight with and get some delight out of it? Because all these other characters, other kings, they're just like little wasps. I can finish them in no time. I need some proper individual to fight with." So Narad Muni said, "There is one person who is really your match. Who is that?" "Krishna, Vasudev. He lives in Mathura." And Narad Muni described Krishna. So Kalajavana now came to fight with Krishna. And Krishna, to confront with Kalajavana, just went alone, no weapon, nothing, barefoot, is walking towards Kalajavana. And Kalajavana saw that this person fits into Narad Muni's description. He realized that, so this is Krishna coming towards me. And he doesn't have any weapon, so I won't also use any weapon. He dropped his weapons. And so he was just waiting for Krishna to come. And Krishna came, and then he turned and he started to walk away from Kalajavana. And Kalajavana thought, "Oh, maybe he became afraid seeing me and he changed his mind. He's running away from me." So Kalajavana chased Krishna. And it looked like Krishna is just casually walking and Kalajavana running full speed. But still he cannot catch Krishna. It seems just one step more and he would catch, but he can't. So in this way, running after Krishna, Kalajavana came. Krishna came to one cave and he entered into that cave. So Kalajavana also, chasing him, went inside the cave. Now in the cave he saw that somebody is lying on the floor. So in the darkness he thought that this must be Krishna. Now he is lying down here in the cave. Okay, now I got you. So he just kicked that sleeping person. And that sleeping person just woke up and looked at him, and Kalajavana, in a flash of a moment, burned to ashes. Now, who is this person? This person who knows? Muchukunda. So do you all know who Muchukunda was? Muchukunda was a king, the son of Mandhata. And he was fighting with the demons on behalf of the demigods. And he fought for a long, long time on behalf of the demigods against the demons. And he was... So finally, Kartikeya was born, and Kartikeya became the general of the demigods, Deva Senapati. So when Kartikeya appeared, then the demigods told him, Muchukunda, thank you very much for fighting on our behalf for so long. So now we got a qualified general, Kartikeya, and he is the son of Mahadev and Parvati. So he will become our general and he'll take the charge of leading the army, leading the soldiers. So now you can retire. Thank you very much for fighting on our behalf for so long. So the demigods then asked him, we are so pleased with you. Ask for any boon from us. Muchukunda said, I am so tired. All I want is to sleep. For fighting with the demons for so long, I've become so tired. I just want to sleep. And if anyone breaks my sleep untimely, then just by my glance, he'll be burnt to ashes. So Krishna knew about that. So that's why Krishna went into that cave where Muchukunda was sleeping. And when Krishna came, when Kalajavana came, he woke up Muchukunda, and Muchukunda looked at him, and by his glance, Kalajavana was burnt to ashes. So this is how Krishna got rid of Kalajavana, and he wiped out Kalajavana's army. Millions of soldiers were wiped out. Now Krishna is going to deal with Jarasandha. He came again with 23 Akshohini soldiers. But Krishna was wiping out all these demons that Jarasandha brought. But this time the demons that came with Jarasandha to support him, they were not meant to die now. They had some more time to act in Krishna's pastimes. That's why this time Krishna didn't kill them. Who were there? At that time, there was Shishupal, Dantavakra, Bidurat, Pondraka, Durjodhan. So this time Krishna decided not to kill them. But Krishna went to the battlefield and he ran away. So Jarasandha thought that because of fear of him, that he is now running away. So Krishna running and Jarasandha and his army chasing Krishna. But Krishna and Balaram running. They came to a mountain called Pravarshan Mountain. And they entered into the mountain. So Jarasandha's soldiers looked for Krishna everywhere but couldn't find. But they saw Krishna and Balaram entered into the mountain region. So Jarasandha decided, set the mountain in fire. Let us burn Krishna and Balaram. So the whole mountain was set on fire. So then Krishna and Balaram climbed onto the top of the mountain. And from there they jumped and landed in Dwarka. So that's why Krishna, in the 18th time during Jarasandha's attack, Krishna ran away from the battlefield. Therefore, he is, what's Krishna called? Ranchor. And so this is how Krishna came to Dwarka and how capital of Jadus were transferred from Mathura to Dwarka. Now with one incident, I will stop today's class and I'll invite the questions. There are quite a few questions, it seems. There was a person called Revata, a king. He was there in Satya Yuga. And he had a beautiful daughter. Her name was Revati. Revata's daughter Revati. Like Janaka's daughter, Janaki. So, Revata was quite concerned to find a suitable match for his exceptional daughter. She was not only extremely beautiful, but she was endowed with so many wonderful qualities. So, he decided to go to Sataloka and ask Brahma who is her suitable match. So, when he went to Sataloka, to Brahma's sabha, Brahma's assembly, at that time Brahma was listening to some apsaras singing, glorifying Krishna. So he waited, because Brahma is listening to the song, so he didn't interrupt. So after the music stopped, he approached Lord Brahma and asked him, "Can you please tell me who is the suitable match for my daughter?" Brahma said, "Look, this few minutes that you waited for me here, so many kalpas, so many yugas went by. So none of the people you knew is there anymore. None of your relatives are there anymore. Everything is gone. Anyway, now it was the end of Dwapar Yuga. And now Balaram is there, the Supreme Personality of God. And he is the suitable match for your daughter." So then Revata with his daughter came to Balaram and offered his daughter in marriage to Balaram. Now she is coming from Satyayuga, so she was very tall, and Balaram compared to her was quite small. So how can that be a match? You know, she is so tall and he is so small. Balaram said, "Don't worry." So he took his plow and he put the plow on her shoulder and just pulled. So Revati became of appropriate size. So this is how Balaram got married. Anyway, so tomorrow we'll discuss about Krishna's marriage. Krishna married 8 principal queens, so we'll discuss about that. So actually tomorrow is the last day, and Garga Samhita is so big with so many descriptions. So anyway, as much as we can cover, we will see. So thank you all very much. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Samaveto Bhakta Vrinda Ki. This question is from Ananda Gauranga Das. Where is Ananda Gauranga? Okay. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, thank you for explaining the difference between Krishna's transcendental pastimes and apparently similar acts of mundane people. My question is, Krishna's dealing with gopis is not immoral, but how do we understand that Lord Ramchandra did not accept more than one wife as Lord came as Marjada Purushottam? Is Lord speaking about the social Marjada? Kindly elaborate. Yes, that is the difference between Sri Ramchandra and Krishna Chandra. Lord Ramchandra came to establish Marjada, Marjada of the scriptures. And Marjada of the scriptures means appropriate act. And in order to teach everybody the appropriate action, appropriate act, he himself acted to establish the Marjada of scriptural injunctions, and moral and the sense of morality. Whereas Krishna is Lila Purushottam. Lila Purushottam means that Krishna is concerned only about his pastimes. Krishna is acting, see, the difference is Ramchandra was acting to establish, to teach others. Ramchandra was acting for others to learn. And Krishnachandra is acting for his own pleasure without considering what others are going to think. So that is the difference. That is why Krishna's pastimes, in order to enter into Krishna's pastimes, we have to be very, very careful about who Krishna is. That's why Prabhupada was very emphatic. Recognize Krishna through Bhagavad Gita. Then recognize Krishna through Srimad Bhagavatam, first 9 cantos. And then only enter into the 10th canto. Because in the 10th canto can be quite bewildering, because Krishna is looking like a human being and apparently he's acting like a human. So next question is Bhaktin Bharati. Bhaktin Bharati. She is not there. Okay. Please accept my most humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and to your lotus feet. Thank you for such blissful pastimes. I very humbly and small question. A very, very humbly and small question, how we are able to learn more and more what Krishna wants, wishes, instead of what we think for Krishna. The best way to learn initially is by hearing from others, other advanced devotees, other spiritual masters, and act according to that instruction. Don't decide for yourself what you want Krishna to do, or you think Krishna will want. So act under the instruction of the spiritual masters. And then at a more advanced stage, you will see that Krishna is directing you from within as a super soul. But until then, just follow the instructions. Dear Guru Maharaj, can you please give some practical instructions? Yes. Follow the 4 regulative principles, chant 16 rounds, read Prabhupada's books, and render devotional service. Is this practical? No, not practical. Somebody is shaking her head. Tell me why it's impractical. Isn't this the most practical instruction? And if you follow these instructions, Prabhupada said, you'll go back to Godhead. So what more do you want? Gita Kirti Radhika Devi Dasi. Where is Gita Kirti? Hare Krishna. You must be jet-lagged, yeah? You traveled the whole day yesterday and came here last night. Gita Kirti just all of a sudden decided to come here. And from New York, New Jersey, she took a flight and flew straight to Indore. And last night at midnight, she came here. Thank you for coming. She's saying, all glories to Shiva, etc. Thank you very much for your wonderful lecture. You mentioned that many, many women from Lord Ramchandra's pastime came as gopis in Lord Krishna's pastime. Did some gopis come from other What is that? Other avatars. Other avatars of Lord, other than Lord Ramchandra. If yes, which avatar of the Lord? Not that I know of. The only one that I can think of is the Vedas personified. They actually approached the Lord. I don't know whether they approached Krishna or they approached Ramchandra. They said that through the Vedic conclusion, we understand that your pastime in Vrindavan is the highest. So they were actually addressing Krishna. Your pastimes in Vrindavan is the highest. And your relationship with the gopis is the highest. So we theoretically understand, but how are you going to have the practical application of that? So then Krishna says, okay, in my pastimes you will come as gopis. But in other ones, not that I know of. Dinavatsala Das. Where is Dinavatsala? Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. We hear that Jarasandha was very favorable to Brahmanas and used to worship Lord Vasudeva, Vishnu also. My question is, why he couldn't recognize Lord Krishna, non-different from Lord Vishnu? Was this worship of Lord Vishnu done in some sort of negative spirit? Yeah. You see, this way we can find that many of the demons were worshipping Vishnu, like Jarasandha. He was respectful towards the Brahmanas. And they accepted Vishnu, but they didn't accept Krishna. That's why they are demons. So Chaitanya Charitamrita makes a point, very heavy point actually. If somebody accepts Krishna but doesn't accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are also fall in the same category as Jarasandha and Shishupal. Alright. So yes, I'll try to describe that also about Jarasandha's nature. Worshipping the Brahmanas and so forth. So next question is from Murari Haridas, Mayapur base, Bhopal. Is it from the internet or? Oh, there you are. Okay, Mayapur base of Bhopal, huh? Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. I have a question with respect to morning class. Gopis, Uddhava, Bhishma are already there in the spiritual world. They descend to material world on the wheel of Krishna. But we also find that in previous life, few gopis were rishis, Bhishma was a Vashu, Uddhava was also one inhabitant of heavenly planet. So how to understand this? Is it that they were conditioned souls and later they became such elevated devotees? Yeah. So, good question. In this respect, we have to understand that there are two types of associates. One kind of associates are Nitya Mukta associates. They come with Krishna from the spiritual sky. And so there are some sadhana siddhas. By their sadhana, they achieve perfection and get a chance to take part in Krishna's pastimes. And that's how they achieve their ultimate perfection. So, in that respect, we have to understand there are three possibilities that happens. Like sometimes Krishna comes with his eternal associate. Say, for example, say Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jashoda. They are Krishna's eternal associates. They are there in the spiritual world with Krishna. And sometimes they come with Krishna. And there are personalities like Drona and Dhara. They perform great austerities and with a desire to achieve that position, having Krishna as their child. And so in such case, where if Nanda and Yashoda from the spiritual sky, the Nitya Siddha Nanda and Yashoda came, the eternal associate, then they merge into their body. Or another possibility is that in these pastimes, Nanda and Yashoda do not come, but Drona and Dhara get to play the role of Nanda and Yashoda. So this is how there are various possibilities. But the point is, yes, there are two types of associates, Nitya Siddha associates and Sadhana Siddha associates. Sadhana Siddhas are elevating from this planet, this platform, material nature, to that spiritual position, and sadhanas and nitya siddhas are already situated in the spiritual world as the Lord's eternal associates. Okay, there are quite a few questions. Rimchim, where is Rimchim? Okay. Hare Krishna, respected Guru Maharaj. I have deity and I am serving them before I came into ISKCON. Unknowingly, knowingly, I would have committed many offenses. Please give me guidelines regarding the deity serving and what should I do now? Which deities do you have? Radha Krishna? Then? Only Krishna. Okay, since you have been worshipping Him, keep on worshipping. Alright. And how do you worship? How many times you offer Aritik and Bhoga?
Guru Maharaj, I offer Krishna thrice, like in the breakfast.
Are you working or studying?
No, I'm like right now I'm not doing anything. I'm still searching a job.
You are?
I'm still searching a job.
I see. So now that you are at home, you are able to offer three times, Bhoga and Arati.
Yes.
But when you get a job, then what will you do?
So Guru Maharaj, I offer the breakfast to Krishna. Then for the afternoon, I keep mystery or some ride when I go to office. And in the night, then I come, I again make the dinner, milk or something.
How will you feel if I invite you and just for lunch give you some mystery? So that's why I'm saying that before you get the deities, be very careful. Be very careful that you are able to take care of them properly. Like, and that's why, you see, that's why there is no emphasis on deity worship in this age. That's what we have to understand. This year, Krishna gave the holy name because you don't have time to take care of the deity. But everyone thinks, oh, if I don't have a deity, then my devotional service is not happening. Mahaprabhu made the arrangement, a simple arrangement, just stick to that arrangement. And if at all you have to have deities, then have Gornithai deities. They'll be happy just if you chant the holy name. Anyway, were you here when I responded to the aunt's question this morning? I have Radha Krishna deities, how should I serve them? I got the deities before I came in contact with ISKCON. So, if on your own you have decided to get the deities, then you decide how you're going to serve. Because it's not appropriate for me to decide how you're going to serve. Right? Therefore now, you know, like, you have to consider very seriously how to maintain the standard At least, you know, maintain whatever you can and every day beg forgiveness from the Lord. My Lord, I am not able to take care of you properly. Please forgive me. But I will make it a point to at least chant 16 rounds every day. Alright? So at least that condition Krishna will accept. Okay? So
should I offer only twice, not thrice?
When you get, and now you can offer, but when you are getting a job, then what? Who is there at home with you?
Maharaj, I am staying away from my home. So.
You're alone. You're alone. Okay, as I said, whatever is possible for you, do that and beg forgiveness. And at noontime, if you're working and if you can at least in your mind, if you can offer, do that. Okay. Lal Govinda Das, Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam Guru Maharaj. Since 12th September, we are receiving series of very interesting, informative and encouraging lectures from your nectar mouth. Every word from your mouth is nectar, which insists on us to sustain spiritual life in spite of having obstacles. Today morning session, you concluded that unless you give up your sex desire completely, you are not able to enter into the spiritual world. You are absolutely correct, Guru Maharaj. It is really a good demon. It is really a great demon in our life. Please advise us or provide some tips how to overcome, conquer sex desire completely. You see, very nice question. Very good question. The thing is, ultimately everything is a matter of practice. Sadhana. Practice makes one perfect. And the way to conquer any propensity is by getting the higher taste. So, and Krishna consciousness provides us the higher taste. And by getting the higher taste, we give up the lower taste. And we have to also recognize the fact that the human life is meant for conquering sex desire. Whether one is a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha or a sannyasi, everyone has that same objective, to conquer sex desire. The other day, I was in Orlando. I was giving a class in the university. And one boy asked a question, why human beings are straight? It's a nice question, actually. Why the human beings are straight? Well, whereas the animals, they're walking on four legs. Birds also don't stand up like that. They're like that. What to speak of the reptiles, snake. And my answer to that was that human life provides the opportunity to achieve spiritual perfection. And according to yoga, the spiritual perfection is related to the spiritual energy which is situated at the base of our vertebra, called Muladhar according to yoga. And there the spiritual energy is in a coiled up form. Therefore it's called Kundalini. And the purpose of human life is to make the Kundalini energy or the spiritual energy to rise through different chakras and come to the top of the vertebra, the brain center, which is called Sahasrara, thousand-petaled lotus. Now the thing that happens with most of the people, the spiritual energy rises and goes out of the body through sexual intercourse. It cannot rise. It is just being drained out from the base of the vertebra to the next chakra and goes out of the body. Now consider, if you have to make the energy rise, what you have to do? You have to stop that energy from going out of the body. And that is why maintaining celibacy or abstaining from sexual indulgence is so important for human beings. Unless and until one conquers sex desire, he cannot make spiritual advance. Now the thing is that the yogis do it artificially. Try to do it. And in this age it's not possible at all. But with devotional service, it happens automatically. As you make spiritual advancement more and more, your spiritual energy will rise. And that is how it will give the higher taste. And it will go. And as it goes, as we make spiritual advancement, it goes from one chakra to another. One chakra is opposite to our genitals. The next is opposite to our navel. The next one is opposite to our heart. Next is opposite to our neck. Next is opposite to our middle of our eyebrows. And then finally, the top of the head, the brain center. And for a devotee, it will happen as you practice the process, it will happen automatically. And that's why it said, by getting the higher taste, you'll automatically abstain. What is the ultimate purpose of sexual union? Reproduction. And it is a painful affair. That's why Brahma gave a little pleasure to that act so that people will become attracted to that act for the sake of procreation. But today what is happening? People forgot or given up the main purpose and they just caught up with that little momentary pleasure that comes with that. And the goal is losing that spiritual energy. Everyone is, in today's world, no one is trying to reserve this spiritual energy. But the whole civilization is running after wasting that spiritual energy. That is the bottom line of this question. Maheshwari Devi Dasi, আপনি দুপুরের ক্লাসে চার প্রকার গোপীর কথা বলেছেন, মৈথিলী গোপী, অযোধ্যা গোপী, দেবী গোপী এবং যোগ্য গোপী। এদের মধ্যে দেবী দৈবী গোপী কাহারা, যদি সেটি কৃপা করে? আমি চারটে বলিনি, তুমি ঠিক মতো শোনোনি। আমি তার আগে বলেছি সুতিচারী গোপী, ঋষিচারী গোপী, এবং পরে আমি বলেছি যে এরকম অসংখ্য গোপী রয়েছে। গোপী কেবল চার রকম নয় বা ছ রকম নয় বা দশ রকম নয়, অসংখ্য গোপী। দৈবী গোপী হচ্ছে যে সমস্ত দেবীরা কৃষ্ণের লীলায় আকৃষ্ট হয়েছে বা রামচন্দ্রের লীলায় আকৃষ্ট হয়ে রামচন্দ্রকে পতিরূপে পেতে চেয়েছে, তারা কৃষ্ণ লীলায় গোপী হয়ে হওয়ার সৌভাগ্য লাভ করেছে। কোয়েশ্চেন, দিস ইজ ফ্রম Ramchandra Nair. Okay. Is there any difference in ego and false ego? Ego is false ego. Because it is false identification, therefore this false aspect has been added to that. It's for our understanding. We have in Sanskrit there are two expressions. Ahankar. Ahankar means identifying with the body. Now the body is not our real identity. Therefore, this is a mistaken identity. And Prabhupada translated that as false ego. Ego means false ego. Ego means ahankar. And the other thing is swarup, our actual spiritual identity. Okay? My professional background in the army has created pride in doing everything I do. Be it routine duties or training courses of instructions or sports, with the intention of doing it best and be a winner. Please advise me on how to use this pride offenselessly in Krishna consciousness without hurting other devotees. Good question. Like we have certain tendency due to our background. But Krishna consciousness is so wonderful that we can use every propensity in Krishna consciousness. The only thing is that we have to do it for Krishna. So as you are saying, taking pride in doing what you are doing. So yes, take pride in doing whatever you are doing as a devotee of Krishna. Don't take the pride because of you are going to get the benefit or the outcome of that pride. Do it for Krishna. And yes, devotees are proud. Like one such a beautiful example is Angad went to Ravana as a messenger of Lord Ramchandra. Now, generally, the messenger should be treated with respect, but Ravana did not show him any respect, even didn't offer him any seat. So, Ravana was sitting on a very high seat, and Angad came as Ramchandra's representative, Ramchandra's dut, to convey some message to Ravan. So, and what did Angad do? With his tail winding up, he created a seat which is even greater than Ravan's, higher than Ravan's. And there, from there, he is communicating with Ravan. It's a pride. I am Lord Ramchandra's servant. And you are a rascal demon. Who do you think you are? So yes, devotees have pride. In a way, I can say, although Srila Prabhupada was the most humble person, but sometimes I would see, it would appear that Prabhupada is the most proud person. One day in Bombay, I was sitting at Prabhupada's lotus feet. We are sitting in the balcony of Prabhupada's room, facing the temple. And Prabhupada, just like that, he just commented, "I am the richest man in the world." What a statement. I am the richest man in the world. And Prabhupada explained, that not only what I am doing is a display of my wealth, I have 10,000 people prepared to give their whole life to me. Who is there that has this kind of loyalty, this kind of asset? Isn't it a proud statement? Yes. It's the pride of a devotee. Bhakta Das. Okay. Play, okay. When Krishna and Balaram came to Ujjain to learn from Sandipani Muni, they learned 64 arts. My question is, did Sandipani Muni all 64 arts? As we have heard that only Krishna knows all 64 arts. Sandipani Muni is the teacher. So if the teacher doesn't know, how is he teaching to the students? Isn't it common sense? Krishna possesses all 64 qualities. Not that Krishna only knows about the 64. He possesses this one. Whereas Sandipani Muni knew about those qualities. And that's why he could teach. This one, no name, it seems. Okay. As you mentioned about Kalajavana, a Javana king, so I'm curious to know that how come the Javana did exist in Dwapar Yuga, because earlier I heard that Kali Yuga degradation started with Javanas and Mlechas. The Mlechas and Javanas had been existing since time immemorial. At the time of creation, the Javanas were created. Individuals with that propensity to go against the scriptures is Javana. From the beginning, there is a tendency for individuals, those who are eating meat, fond of eating meat, those people are there. They are mlechas. So all of them had been existing, not that only in Kali Yuga they appear. Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pukkasha. Krishna is telling Bhagavad Gita. The Skiratas, Hunas, Javana Khashadayo, Javanas, Khashas, Andhra, Pulindra, they have been existing. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sharashati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Dishukadine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.